Testing, testing. Test number two.
All right, I think we can begin. Is anyone else out there waiting to come in? All right, I think we can begin. I can formally declare this meeting of the Inner West Planning Panel open. In doing so, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting on today, their elders past and present. Next is declarations of interest. There are no declarations of interest. It's customary when beginning these meetings for us to introduce ourselves so that you know who we are. I'm David Lloyd. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC with a practising certificate. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. I'm currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University, and I chair three other local planning panels. Mrs. Taylor.
Central City Planning Area.
My name's Ken Hawke. I'm the community rep on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for over 40 years, and I've worked in local government planning for a similar sort of time.
Jan Morrell. I'm a planner of some 40 years. I retired from the Land and Environment Court 6 years ago, where I was a commissioner, and prior to that, corporate manager of planning, development and the environment at Liverpool City Council. I currently chair a number of planning panels and sit on as an expert member on many planning panels as well. Thank you.
Well, with that, we can move straight on to the first of the items we have to consider. Item one is the proposed development at 27 Adolphus Street, Balmain. I can report that earlier in the day, the panel inspected the site of this development. In fact, we inspected the site of each development. It is before us because this is a heritage item. It involves alterations and additions internally to an existing heritage item. The problem with it is that the building will exceed the prescribed landscaped area and prescribed site coverage in the local environmental plan. However, it already does so, and there's no change in that respect. The panel is satisfied that the work will have no adverse effect on the heritage significance of the item and is prepared to adopt the recommendation as set out in the officer's report. So the formal decision of the panel is to adopt the recommendation set out in the officer's report. The reason for the determination, and we have to give reasons in each case, the reason for the determination is that the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. So that's item
reasons
one.
Reasons for refusal? You said reasons for refusal.
Reasons for approval, I meant to say, contained in that report. So that's item one. With that, we can move on to item two. Again, this is referred to us because the land is a heritage item, and it involves the proposed lopping or pruning of a liquid amber tree at the rear of the site.
Say the site. Would you say the address of the site?
The address is 27 Waterview Street, Balmain. As I've said, it's a heritage item. The liquid amber tree is one which requires our consent to prune because the land is a heritage item. We do not agree with the extent of pruning that is proposed. We are prepared, however, to adopt the recommendation to allow some pruning, limited to the removal of dead wood less than 30 millimetres in diameter, as well as three previously stubbed branches over the roof line of the dwelling. So, again, the determination, as with the previous matter, is unanimous. We approve the We adopt the recommendation in the officer's report. And again, the reasons for the determination are the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report, subject to that condition. I think everyone heard me. All right, so we can move now straight on to item number 3. This is the development at 6 Montague Street, Balmain, a former Masonic Hall, which is being converted into a residential flat building. And there are some modifications to Unit 4 as approved. I'll ask Mr. Hawke to deal with this matter.
Thank you. This is an application for a Section 4.55 modification to an approved residential flat building conversion. The property is known as Chelmsford Hall, an ex-Masonic lodge at 6 Montague Street, Balmain, which is also a heritage item. The application seeks to create a small external balcony to the mezzanine level of apartment 4, install French doors outwards to that balcony, and make some internal alterations. The panel considers the proposal will not create any amenity impacts to the surrounding area, and with appropriate conditions will be acceptable from a heritage perspective. The panel, therefore, has unanimously supported the recommendation for approval outlined on page 67 of the meeting agenda and endorses the reasons for approval therewith.
All right, now we can move straight on to item number 5. Is anyone here? Item number 4, I'm sorry. Item number 4. I'm jumping ahead of you. 24 Little Darling Street, Balmain. There's no one registered to speak on this matter, but I'll ask Ms. Morell to deal with this matter.
So nobody is here to speak on this matter? I just thought I saw someone raise their hand. No?
That was for 5.
Right, sorry, yes. Yes. I'll just preface by saying that we did visit the site this morning, and we did knock on the door, but it wasn't an issue because we didn't have any concerns. Sorry, but anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we did visit the site, but that wasn't an issue that we didn't go in, so that's fine. Don't want you to worry about that. Yep. I will just say that we note that this is for part demolition and alterations to the existing dwelling house, and that at number 24 Darling Street, and the application was notified to adjoining properties, etc., and there have been no objections or submissions received as such. We note that there is a technical breach in terms of height, and there's a clause 4.6 variation that we do not have an issue with. And the panel considers that the council officers report and adopts the recommendation for approval of the development application as such. The panel reason is that the panel is satisfied that there will be no environmental impacts a result of the subject development application, and approval is unanimously granted. Thank you.
Right, is anyone here in relation to item 5, 17 Burt Street? Good. We have notice of a number of people who wish to address us. Now, is the owner of 15 Burt Street here? 15? You can come forward, please. When you speak, you'll have to press the button in front of you.
Yeah, done that.
First of all, tell us your name and address, please.
Yes, my name is Peter Hare. I'm the co-owner of number 15 Burt Street in Roselle.
Which is right next door.
Which is right next door.
You have furnished a written objection.
I have.
Which we have, and which
you
we have read. You wish to speak to that?
Yes, I do.
You have 3 minutes, starting now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to offer my apology for not being available at the site inspection this morning. I was giving evidence at the Parliamentary Inquiry into WestConnex, which we certainly hope ends up being a Royal Commission. The first point I want to make is that the 450 setback that's been proposed in the plan, I think, is certainly worthwhile, and I have no objection to that. In fact, I'm pleased to see that it exists. In relation to that, the setback from the boundary actually needs to work from the boundary, as has been determined by the Lands Department. The documentation supporting that determination was attached to my letter of objection, or my submission rather. So I would also request that reasonable access to that area between the two, the existing wall and the proposed, be a condition of development approval, so that access can be obtained to that area, so that the leaf material, which is currently compromising my damp course and causing the rising damp in my bathroom wall, can be removed. So that's one request. And finally, I would also like to suggest that the box gutter, or the valley gutter, that's proposed in the upstream section of the roof on number 17, that fall to the west to minimise the potential of overflow onto my property. In the past, there has been, or there have been, a number of significant rain events which have caused compromise to the lapping on the skillion roof, which is quite long and quite shallow. And in heavy rain events, the side laps are compromised. So clearly, any interruption to that, as is proposed in the applicant's application, should be as a condition of approval that the fall of that box gutter or valley gutter be to the west, which is away from my property.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Ms. Auburn-White, do you wish to respond? Mr. McLean, is it?
Yes.
Yes, please sit down, Mr. McLean. First of all, tell us who you are.
Tony McLean. I'm an architect. I prepared the plans that are before council at the moment.
All right, proceed.
Well, you went to the site this morning, and you must be aware that the proposal is modest, really, compared to the adjoining properties. One 15 has a two-storey form at the rear of the yard, and the other adjoining neighbour is a two-storey terrace. But if you read the report, you'll see that, well, in terms of the LEP, the application is squeaky clean. There's no part 4.6. We comply with the main controls. Now, council have prepared a report which we accept in full in terms of the DCP matters, heritage, streetscape, overshadowing, things like that. Now, if I can just address some of the points raised by the neighbour here. We would set the work out from our survey. I'm not quite sure what he meant by the Department of Lands, but we would go by our survey. And as to the box gutter, there was no work intended beyond the boundary where it's a common roof, but we're quite happy to fall the box gutter to the west.
Thank you.
So it falls to the side passage and not to our neighbour's roof. The other thing to do with access, I think, well, council can't impose such a condition that access be given. All I would say is if it's required, I ask that the neighbour approach the owner and request access. We don't want a condition imposed. Well, the panel can't do it anyway, where someone else has rights on someone else's land in this instance. now. Well, really, we just accept the recommendations in total. I mean, we did the right thing. We lodged plans. Council requested some changes. We did it. Requested additional shadow diagrams. We did that. We've always sought to do the right thing. And we accept the recommendation. That's all.
All right, thank you. Don't go away. You may have some questions.
Mr. McLean, you might be aware of the Access to Neighbouring Lands Act that's available for anybody to seek through the local courts an order for access if access is not granted in circumstances where access is needed for repairs or maintenance.
Yes, I am aware of that, but I can't see the panel imposing a condition in these conditions that would override that.
The council's certainly not proposing it, and I don't think this panel is preparing a condition for that either.
Yeah.
Thank you. In relation to the concern by your neighbour about which way the gutter flows, you prepared a roof stormwater plan which was acceptable to council. Did that specify which way the gutter flowed?
No, it didn't. It specified the flow from the ends of the box gutter. I had a crest in the middle. The box gutter's about 5 metres. I had a crest in the middle to reduce the fall. It went either side, then down the sloping roof. It went down probably that far, was from the boundary to the edge of the upturned roof light, and the gutter, the water was here. Now, if the neighbour wants it all to go to the other side, that's all right. It's not a... yes, could be conditioned.
Thank you.
You want to ask him? Yes?
No, I don't want to ask him.
Yes, would you have another question? Yes. You're not being recorded unless you come and speak into a microphone.
Thank you. I just simply want to respond to the comment in relation to the boundary. I do appreciate that a licensed surveyor has prepared a survey which has been attached to the applicant's application. But I would also suggest that in our submission, we've included two survey documents, essentially one from the Lands Department confirming the survey that was undertaken by a surveyor that we engaged in the 90s. And I would respectfully suggest that in terms of determination of that dispute, which existed at that time, that the Lands Department is the appropriate authority in relation to the determination of disputes vis-a-vis boundaries. And clearly the applicant's survey and the survey from the Lands Department are at odds, and I would respectfully suggest that the survey from the Lands Department trump the applicant's survey.
What's the difference?
Probably about 80 mil.
80 mil?
Yeah. Which is significant when you are determining the start point for the 450 offset.
Mr. McLean, there's a dispute about the survey. Do you wish to comment on that?
Well, there's no dispute from our point of view. Our survey is only 9 months old. Council require surveys that are lodged up boundary surveys, which means the surveyor has to go back to the original marks of land titles and do a proper boundary survey. That's what we have.
Your own plans.
Yeah.
It says, warning, due to inconsistencies between the positive plans and eastern plan, position of the boundaries is disputable.
Yes. Yes, but that's also...
That's from B and Lethbridge.
B and Lethbridge, that's this year, that's the recent one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is a boundary survey, and they would be doing the survey before the work. If something surfaces then, well and good, but at the moment we would proceed on.
Could I possibly respond? The reason for involving the Lands Department in the 90s was simply because there was a dispute that existed between two surveyors. This is not unusual. You would like to think that surveying is an utterly precise science. It seems as though it isn't. So therefore, in order to resolve this dispute, the Lands Department got involved and they sent their surveyor, and their surveyor found that the survey as conducted by Mr. Hui, I believe his name was, H-O-O-I, was in fact accurate. So I don't think that chronology plays any role in this. I would suggest that surveys as conducted by the Lands Department, by their very nature, would have to be, particularly if they are there to resolve survey disputes, would have to be infinitely more acceptable to any body or party or committee than the survey by an independent surveyor. Chronology has no impact.
Thank you very much. And on the matter of access, that is not a matter for us. There is an Act of Parliament that gives you access, Mr. Hare, if there is a problem getting it. And that Act is for that purpose specifically. Not a matter for this panel to put into a condition of consent. Secondly, the matter of a dispute without boundaries is also not a matter for this panel. The setback has been given so that there will be access if there is a dispute. It's a matter for you to take up with the, once again, with the Land Titles Office. Not a matter for this panel to decide. And so this panel will unanimously approve the application for the reasons given in the council report, noting that... Noting that it's been found in terms of heritage to be... a modest scale of redevelopment at the rear. We note that council was concerned about some retention of trees, and there are numerous conditions relating to those trees in relation to this application. We note the side setback will produce the outcome that you want, Mr. Hare, and if you want to have an argument about the boundary, then that is your decision. We note that the discharge of roof water has been found to be satisfactory to the council, and also that here today the architect has said he will amend the plans, and we will include a condition to the effect that he do so in relation to the manner in which the water flows. Otherwise, we find that we accept the council's report, and we will approve the application and accept the reasoning in the council town planning report and endorse those reasons given for the approval, with the addition of one condition relating to the stormwater. Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you both for your submissions.
The additional condition that we impose is that the stormwater plan be amended so that roof water from the Box Gutter shall fall to the west. And that's an additional condition.
Stormwater plan to be...
The stormwater plan...
to be amended.
...shall be amended... Stormwater plan. We'll get this right.
I've written it down. Oh, they're writing it on me.
To provide that stormwater from the Box Gutter shall fall to the west.
Stormwater from the Box Gutter stormwater. So that stormwater from the box gutter shall fall to the west.
And you want the details prior to the construction certificate?
All right. Item 6 is the upgrading works at the existing childcare centre at 450 Balmain Road, Lilyfield. Is anyone here that's interested in that? If not, if not, I'll ask Mrs. Taylor to deal with that matter.
Yes, this is a part of Callan Park. It's an existing playground, and the works are to improve the outdoor playground area only on that part of the ground that has already been disturbed. The applicant has already sought and received approval from the Heritage Council, as this is a state heritage item, and as a result, the panel unanimously approves the application for the reasons given in the Council Town Planning Report. And the reasons are endorsed by this panel for the unanimous decision.
All right. The other matters are due to commence not before 4 p.m, which has been amended to not before 3 p.m, and we are expecting people at 3 p.m. in relation to the first of those matters. So we will adjourn until 3 p.m. Thank you. All right, this is the resumption of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. We've moved the 4 p.m. items forward to 3 p.m. and I think everyone's here that's involved in those matters. So we can move on to the first of those matters, which is the development in Wetherill Street, Croydon, at the corner of Liverpool Road. We have noticed that Mr. Sun wishes to address us on that matter. Mr. Sun, you spoke to us on site and we appreciate what your concerns are, but if you want to add to what you told us on site, please come forward, take a seat. You have to turn on the mic in front of you so that you're recorded. Just press the button at the bottom, at the base.
Silver.
The silver button, okay. For the record, just tell us your name and address, please.
Yeah. My name is Hao Sun, and I'm living at Unit 1, 457-463, Liverpool Road, Croydon.
All right. We have your written submission, which we have read. And we spoke to you on site. You have 3 minutes to add to what to add to that, if you wish.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Daniel. Dear panel members and ladies and gentlemen, as I said, my name is Hao Sun, and we live on in the townhouse adjoined to the development site on the eastern boundary. We share the boundary. And my property is 3 meters from the boundary, and the new development building will be right on the boundary with no setbacks. After studying all the Ashfield Council's DCPs, all the plans and all the documents and all the drawing, and I found what I strongly believe the new site, the new building, should be set back from eastern boundary. And I have three points I make to support my view. First, as we see this morning, due to the fact of the ground slanting to the ground floor of the new apartment will be 1.9 meters above hours. Therefore, to us, the new building will be around 14.9 meters tall, and the distance between two properties is only 3 meters. So therefore, we believe that this sudden transition does not satisfy the council's requirement. Also, we believe that our amenities afford to us in the DCP of sunlight and privacy aren't being protected in the meantime, cause various other problems such as overshadowing and loss of views. And secondly, because it's being so close to each other, and if in the future we might have a chance for development, then there will be no gap between the two buildings. So that's also against Council's DCP. It states development must not compromise the ability of adjacent site to build to their full floor space ratio potential. Is that time?
That's your time.
Okay. Thank you.
The panel has agreed to allow you an extension of time, Mr. Sun, so if you want to complete what you want to say, you may do so.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for that. I just make my point again. The first one was because the ground level is about 1.9 meters different, so their building will be about 14.9 meters as I standing on my ground to see their building. And also it's only 3 meters space between us. So I strongly believe our amenities are being taken away. And I think the council DCP states buildings are ensured that the scale is sympathetic with surrounding lower density residential properties. So in the proposed plan, there has been no effort to transit the three-story residential apartment. And also, I want to emphasize again, in the future, our site maybe have a chance for development, there will be no space for us to build. That's also very against Council's DCP along Liverpool Road. There will be all the buildings needs to create a distinct spatial character. Thank you. That's all my view.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is anyone else here interested in that matter?
Mr. Chair, yes. My name is Alan Cullard. I'm a town planning consultant. I have registered. I'm Mr. Ross Howson, who's the architect for the project. He's also here. We weren't intending on addressing the or making a submission to the panel. We're happy to take any questions the panel may have.
Thank you. All right. Would any of you like to respond to what has just been said by Mr. Sun?
Yes.
Well, you have to come and speak into the mic so that you are recorded. And you have to tell us who you are.
My name is Ross Howison. I'm the project architect. And
thank you.
This is Alan Callidine, the project town planning consultant. Our response to the concerns of our neighbour to the east are that we went through the normal process with council and consulted with them prior to the design of the building. The setback on that eastern side is for a nil setback. It's a requirement of the future desired of the future desired form of the precinct. It's zoned it's separate zoning along the high density zoning along the main road, and so we have designed the building according to those controls and have gone through considerable process with council, so they understand what we have been doing. The concern about the height above the ground is because that part of the site is flood prone, and our building ground floor has had to be lifted above the flood level. So that's the reason we have a high, it's one. I'm quoting 1.9 above the ground on the eastern side is because of the flood controls, and we were required to lift our ground floor to that height. Other than that, the building complies with the main height controls, with the slight exception of the lift overrun, which we've addressed in a clause 4.6 variation, and that has been caused purely because of the flood issues. That's been caused purely for the flood issues. We've been required to lift our ground floor.
At least some setback to the boundary. I don't see any form that suggests you've got to have building to the boundary in that street as yet.
I think the desired future development of that street is that it is a street wall approach with nil setbacks along the street frontage and with the exposure to the north of the residences. So it is a better urban outcome to have a nil setback on that boundary, and that's indeed what is proposed in the council's controls. So I really do think it is the best outcome for future development, and that's the way. There's two other developments on opposite corners. They've all been approved and carried out in the same manner. So we followed that process.
So from an urban design point of view, the zone B4 doesn't require you to have retailing or commercial downstairs. And in that instance, yes, I can see zero lot boundaries along there, but this particular zone allows you to have purely residential, which is what's proposed, and I've got no issue with that. But it is the question that's already been asked in terms of, is it appropriate for a zero lot boundary? I'm just trying to understand what you've said is in terms of the justification for that. The transition to what we already see in that streetscape there.
The controls are developed to provide a future streetscape, and a nil setback with a street wall along the Liverpool Road is, I believe, the best answer to that, and I believe that's what's been contemplated by...
Sorry, why do you think it's the best outcome?
Because if we have separation, it's a B4 zone, so it can be, in the future, if needs be required, it can be converted to commercial on the ground floor.
But it's not proposed. It's proposed as a residential building.
No, but it is. We've provided 3.6 metres floor to floor on the ground floor, and there is always in the future the ability to convert residential to retail or commercial. It's allowed under the controls, and it could happen in the future. So I genuinely believe that it's the best outcome for the site and for the along Liverpool Road. There is a transition the other way, and I just think it's the right way to do it. And council, I would have thought, would confirm that view.
Perhaps you could, excuse me, Mr. Howson, perhaps you could just respond to the concern about redevelopment, the potential redevelopment of the adjoining land, and whether in fact that would be compromised in any way.
I don't believe it would be compromised. The a nil setback to our site from the adjoining property will ensure that that site will be able to achieve the FSR controls that's allowable under the LEP, and I see no reason. The site is amply big enough to be developed, and indeed I think the expectation is that it would be developed in line with our proposal rather than be left the way it is. So I'm confident that it can achieve all of the requirements under the LEP and be viably developed.
You see, we're worried about the impact to a neighbour that's in a slightly densely and that, you know, has a drop by 1.9 metres to their private open space, and then you're going over the height as well because of your concerns about flooding. So they're getting next to them a building that is much higher than is expected for most people to have as the outcome in this area. So we're now over several metres higher than...
We do comply with the height control at the boundary, so we are within the guidelines, we are within the LEP controls of the wall. We have a blank wall on that boundary, so there is no privacy issues of overlooking. The rear of the townhouse next door faces north, which is the ideal aspect, and they get full solar access for most of the day. So I don't see that we're impinging on privacy, and we're not impinging on solar access. It's simply a function of the changes that are occurring in the area, which will occur. The flood issue is not something of our making, of course. So we've had to comply and provide a freeboard of 0.5 a metre above the 100-year flood level, and any future development on that site will indeed have to comply with the same controls. So the ground floor of a neighbouring building will be at the same height as the ground floor of our building.
I just have another question. It's in response to, I don't know whether you've seen the submissions that were made, but there was a concern about the fire hydrant and it being designed into the building as such, or designed so that it is not just a prominent fire hydrant booster. Do you have any problems with a condition which would in fact require the fire hydrant booster to be screened in some way?
No, not at all. But the fire hydrant location and visibility is a requirement of the BCA and the fire brigade.
I understand.
So it can be enclosed. It is enclosed, but it can be enclosed with a solid door with simply the lettering of fire hydrant on it. No
yes.
problem at all. No,
okay, so
no,
you wouldn't no. object to a condition.
Have you seen those letters?
Pardon?
Have you seen the letters?
No. I've only seen the summary provided in the report.
I take it you have no objection to enclosing enclosing that.
No, okay. Not at all.
You know nothing about that.
No, but he's happy to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I'm just looking at the plans.
They've taken the ground level from there and calculating the height.
Yes, I know. Yep. Mm. Yes, I realise that. Yeah. Yeah, the height, it's within the height. Mm.
What we are doing is checking the planning controls just to see what they say.
I'm concerned that you haven't seen letters written by some town planners who live in the area regarding the look of the material at the front that has to deal with the fire brigade, etc. And I wanted you to see the letters that have been written to the council. So I'm wondering if you can pop that down to me. While this is going on, I think you should read what's being said and why you're being asked to do something about it.
If I may say so, we have no problem and objection to that condition, and that's fine. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you for that, allowing us to have a discussion there. Clearly, we have been looking at the merits of this application and the concerns that have been expressed. The panel, however, has come to the unanimous view that the potential of redevelopment of the adjoining site, whether it be in one total lot or whether in fact it just be the frontages, would not be compromised by the proposed development because it's on a merits application, it could also build to the boundary. Importantly, we note that in the vicinity of the courtyard for the subject townhouse to the east, the building is set back, and that will provide for it won't have a feeling of enclosure as if it was right on the boundary. So the courtyard, the amenity of that courtyard has been considered as such. We are satisfied there's no impacts in terms of overshadowing on the townhouse, given its advantageous facing north at the rear. The panel considers that the additional height is clearly one that is met by, the standard is met by the height, even with the raising of the floor level to allow for the flooding situation. We note that the exceedance in the height is with respect to the lift overrun, which will not impact on the townhouse to the east in terms of the location of the lift. It is centrally located. Similarly, the height exceedance also is for a roof structure, a relatively small roof structure, to complement the use of the rooftop open space area. So in terms of the height exceedance, the 4.6 exceedance, the panel is satisfied that there is that the objectives are met, and it is not unreasonable in the circumstances of the case. The panel also notes that there are no loss of views as such. The outlook from the rear of the townhouse will still be maintained in terms of what we see. There is one window in the townhouse that is a bathroom window, and this will not be unreasonably impacted by development with a zero lot boundary. The panel does note that, yes, the floor level is 1.9 metres above, but it still complies with the height restriction in terms of that edge of the building. So the panel is satisfied that it is a development that is contemplated in the zone and can see no reason as to why the council officer's report and recommendation is not endorsed by the panel. As such, the panel unanimously considers that the development application be approved in accordance with the council officer's recommendation report and the attached conditions, with an additional condition known as number 1A, which requires the fire hydrant to be fire hydrant booster and equipment to be appropriately incorporated into the architectural expression of the building, and the final details to be approved by the PCA prior to the CC certificate. So that concludes the panel's determination on this matter. Thank you. We have given the concerns of the objector. I have to note for the minutes as well, we have given the concerns of the submitters and objector serious consideration in arriving at our decision, but are satisfied there will be no unreasonable adverse impacts. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your attendance. That means we can move on to the next item, number 8. This is the development at 194 Smith Street. Nobody is here for that matter. This is the partial demolition and alterations and additions at the rear of a heritage item at 194 Smith Street. The proposal complies with the development controls in the local environmental plan, complies with the DCP, and is accordingly approved. So the panel unanimously adopts the recommendation in the assessment report and grants consent subject to the conditions in the attachment to that report. The reasons for the panel's determination is that the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. So with that, we can move on to item 9. Item 9 is the proposal to fit out and use an existing building at 2 Thornley Street, Marrickville, as a multiple-purpose community meeting rooms. Again, no one is here, but I'll ask Mr. Hawke to announce the decision in that matter.
Thank you. This is an application to fit out and revamp the existing building, which will be used as 2 multi-purpose community meeting rooms, and erect a new roof on the building. The application has come before the panel because the council is the applicant. The panel believes the proposed use will be highly beneficial to the local community without creating any external amenity impacts. The application complies with the Marrickville LEP and DCP, and the panel unanimously endorses the recommendation for approval outlined on page 338 of the meeting agenda and endorses the conditions of consent contained therein.
All right, with that, I can formally close the meeting and we can adjourn.